I'm going to chair this thing together. We have some special guests here, and I'd like to read their names, and they all can stand real quick. Beth Dawson. There she is. Chris Kudrow, excuse me. I didn't mean to miss your name, though. Tim Burris. There we go. And Jim Hanakushi. Layton Blessall, of course, is here.
No, stand up, Layton. We want everybody to see you.
We have Commissioner Skip Watkins here. We have Chance Lambeth, who is representative for our good friend, David. So thank you, Chance. We have Shane Johnson here, who is looking at contingency of the Wilmington Realty. And thank you. And we also have Jim Wilson. Now, Jim, you're taking over a new post. So I'll explain to us real quick what it was.
I'm the new chairman of the North Carolina Shore Beaches and Waterways Association.
Thank you.
We have reorganized to be more efficient. We've grown since we started at Rick Kaplan's dining room table. We've grown in complexity, and therefore we've reorganized. We've got a new officer. We're searching for a new executive director, but you all will know about that. We're getting all this for us.
Thank you.
Michael Lee, where is he? Oh, there he is, sorry. Now, you stand up, you stand up. I was standing. I appreciate this. We're built by the same shortness, but mine's a little wider than yours. And where's Rick at? There we go. Rick's feet in his face, that's good. Thank you. What we would like to discuss this morning is what I want to discuss is the Beechtree Nourishment and what our committee that led in this ramrod has actually came up with. And if each of the representatives that are here can give us some input where they're at with this, if you want. So Nancy, we'll start with you if you finish it.
Now she chews her bacon. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Now, where's the same old thing when I get back on the beach?
Yeah.
Anything you say because we had to filter it, put it back on the beach.
It will go back on the beach, yes.
Or maybe there's some of the things out of
No. We've had one meeting so far. I think we have another one scheduled in August. Right, Layton? I thought we had a pretty healthy discussion about where each of the towns are coming from and the 17.5% and what that means to us. And we went through many, many scenarios about how we can come up with the 17.5%. And we asked for numbers to be shared with us, what's coming into the sand fund, what's going out of the sand fund, some updated projections maybe to help us. So look forward to more. Somewhat heated, occasionally discussions, but healthy. I think the next meeting, I'm going to suggest that every visitor comes across the bridge brings at least a 25-pound bag of sand.
Michael, would you like to give your... Would you like to give what you think went on the meeting?
Yeah, I think Nancy was right. The first meeting we had was really sort of an introduction type meeting. We all talked just in general about the program itself and the various funding sources. I think we were all pretty much in agreement that from our standpoint, looking at sand on the beach, it is a universal issue. It's something that all of us can get around and try and advance that cause. So I thought that was good that we all came out and we were all on the same page right off the bat regarding that issue. Naturally, as we get into more of the details, I'm sure some of that will be more contentious, but I think in general, the philosophy of getting us all together and working together was a very good one. So I appreciate that from Lee and from the rest of the staff.
Tim, the other representative from Pat and Beth, the family, had to leave immediately, so Tim Owens will let him come. Thank you. Layton, you're up.
Yeah, that was a pretty nice summary. We're meeting again in a couple weeks. We're going to bring long-term alternatives, and we're going to bring short-term alternatives. And we're going to bring it before you and let the powers that be sort them out. And I think it's, we'll find a working solution. We'll have a solution. Yes?
For people in the room that aren't familiar with what we're talking about, can you just give an overview of how the request, how it came to be, and you know, what the intent is?
We're discussing the interlocal agreement between the county and the fish communities. In the event federal dollars and state dollars wane. In 2011, I guess, we came up with this agreement, and the numbers were 82.5 and 17.5. In the event state and federal dollars do not equal 17.5% the local community for that maintenance event would be liable for up to 17.5% of the bill, and the remaining tax would pick up 82.5% of the bill. We've had some discussions last year or so with some consternation about the 17.5% being solely on the shoulders of the beach communities, some communities smaller than others, and so there was a request that 17.5% be revisited. And the committee, again, will be, or the subcommittee, will be looking at alternatives, both long-term, but also looking for alternatives short-term to bring before each commission, as well as bring before the county commissioners, and then everybody will have their opportunity to discuss. That's my interpretation of the process.
Okay.
Yes?
So what is the deadline?
A deadline for
timing for you guys to finish your work so that the various towns can act on it. Is there a deadline or not? I think there is, but I'm not sure everyone agrees and I'll know the truth.
The milestone that I was given, thanks to Mr. Watkins, was to come back in to county commissioners meeting and give an update. That was not just to give a list of alternatives, but to give an update, and I appreciated that. Once we have our list, we will get it as soon as we can. I would rather have a large number of alternatives than a short list of alternatives.
And for this coming reimbursement, we're good. So this, it doesn't really apply for this coming reimbursement.
That's correct. That's correct.
Those were good. Thank you.
May I sit down?
Finish your breakfast.
Rick, could you give us the background on how this thing came about? Because it was an emergency.
Yep.
Agreed.
It was, and I actually put it together, and I came to each of the beach councils to get it approved for a, I think it was a four-year time before it, you could renew it or not renew it. So it was a temporary agreement. It's not something that I think that you're under any kind of obligation to continue with. So that's something that I think is important to know. It was a temporary interlocal agreement to meet with an emergency situation. So now I think it's time to take a completely fresh look at it. And so I'm glad you're having those conversations.
And we need to make it abundantly clear to the chairman of the county commissioners that they do not contribute any money to these reimbursements. Thank you. Is there any other discussion on that? Okay. I have a piece of paper that Skip brought in, and he's got several more. And it actually breaks down the room occupancy money and where it goes. And I think it's great if we could pass it on.
I've got eight left, so y'all are light over. Oh, man, look, y'all want more. I'll go one to the table.
I don't know where this came from.
Who did you get the paper you want? Y'all can't have a round.
This is a comprehensive overview of where the money goes for the room occupancy tax, and 40% of the first 3% collected. $120 and $6 goes to the tourism tax. And I think what we may need to do is take this and go back to the legislature and change part of it, you know, how it's collected, how it's split up. Any discussion on that?
I'm sorry, David, I didn't understand. I'm sorry.
I said the first $1.20 out of $6 total, 40% of it in the first 3% collected goes to the tourism board. And I think what we may need to do is go back to the legislature and revisit this, because it didn't used to be like this.
I didn't remember the original. In fact, that visual saved me, because I'm trying to remember. My brain is visual. Most guys are.
Skip, where'd you get that?
I want to say it was from Stardews, but it's something I ran across by pure accident. If anybody wants to shoot me an email to the county website, email, I will gladly send you a copy of it. I mean, no problem, but I think it's one of the greatest. I did make some notes on the side of it, but out of the $6, $4.80 ends back up in each community, right? You know, 30% part of us for saying it, other part's not. And I do want to address one thing. I think, and I can only speak for Skip, I can't speak for Vice Chair Dawson, I can't speak for Barfield or anybody else. But I personally view, and I think the commission views, that sand is just as much of an infrastructure as a road, as anything else, as utilities. And though at this point there may not be any money set in a particular fund, you know, set aside with the, you know, that little label maker, you know, you put it up there, I feel confident that if there were a, and I think Mr. Coudre and I, we've had this conversation before, he knows I'm late as a sand man, I'm a sand boy, but I'm confident that we could look each of you beach communities in the eye and tell you if something were to happen, the general fund would be probably the source of a good portion of that money if there were to be. Not to say that we cannot put something aside, but if you look at our budget, $300 million, we've got control over what risk, 12, 15 million, something like that. Most of it is mandated with funding and unfunded. Now, mandated with funding, mandated without funding. But the money would be there in an emergency if it happened, God forbid, this season. What happens in the future? If we can come up with something for a fund, quote unquote, then so be it. But the county would, in my vote, would be there in the case of a tremendous emergency from the fund balance. That's all I can say. I can speak for one or five. I can't speak for Ms. Dawson or anybody else. But we will be there. Ready?
Yeah, I want to make y'all aware of some legislation that I'm working on. I've been talking to Michael over on the Senate side about it. And it's a economic analysis of the Jones Act. The Jones Act makes it, we've got four dredging companies in the whole United States that make it very, very difficult for us to have any kind of competition. And so we're probably paying many, many times more than it would be if it was not a lockup situation where we could have some real competition on dredging. So what the House has passed my bill that makes a study, an economic impact study of the Jones Act. And the day it got filed, it hadn't even hit the floor yet. I got calls and emails from legislators all over the United States saying, thank you, it's time to start working on this. So if it gets through the Senate, I hope it does, then it'll be an analysis, and then that analysis we will take to Washington, and will be something that other states have already contacted me and said they would like to get a copy of what we've done. So it's a beginning of a big battle to be able to put some competitiveness into the dredging situation, and that would solve most of our problem. because right now we're probably, we might be paying two times, three times, 10 times more than it would be if there was real competition and there wasn't only four companies in the whole United States to do our job and our beach management. So I just want to make you aware that we're working on that. So Michael, let me know if anybody else has talked to him. And Paul Koza with Ports is very concerned about it because it's shutting down our fuel terminals. It's making it where people can't ship from port to port because there are only 194 ships in America, the whole country, that meet the Jones Act. There's only 49 tankers in the whole country that meet the Jones Act. So our fuel terminals are shutting down, and they kept us alive when the train shut down the Colonial Pipeline. And so we're losing that resource. So it's also a homeland security issue. So call all of your senators and tell them to please support that senator.
As a follow-up to that, one of the things that we've been encouraging the county's been helping is to get the state, as much as the beach communities have been asking the county to get to the table, we'd like to see something from the state that's some kind of long-term commitment, if federal dollars go away, that the state acknowledges and recognizes local contributions to match. Because what lately is the committee are having to look at is the likelihood of the federal dollars going away, does that also mean the state dollars go away? And then we're at 100% funding on counties. And right now there's no state enabling legislation or policy that says if there are no federal dollars, that the state will be at the table. And that's 17.5% of that the state's contributing. It's likely that the feds go away and we'd be looking at the state to contribute at least 17.5%, if not more. It's a state asset as much as it is a county asset.
Yeah, I comment on that. I've been in General Assembly for 3 years, and it was shocking to see what happens is that if there's federal money, then there's always money to match it. And as soon as the federal money goes away, it just disappears. It's gone. And so that's where we are right now.
Yeah, so I'm going to stand here.
He's the one that's late.
Haven't caught up with Representative Catley on this, but what we've been working on, at least on the Senate side, is number one is education for me. I'm relatively new at this, and I haven't been a county commissioner, so I know we've reached out to the county, we've talked to Chris. We had a meeting, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago, with a representative from the county and some staff in the Senate. What we want to do is, the first thing that we wanted to do early on in the session is address shallow draft inland dredging. And that's something that we've done, and hopefully we'll get it through the budget process, an additional funding source, and also a mechanism to have public-private partnerships. And then what we hope to do, and along with that, is there's a study that we're having, putting a couple $100,000 into, so that we can have a schedule for all the shallow draft inlets up and down the coast, because we are a state. And so now that we've kind of got that mechanism in place, we're looking at beach nourishment. And number one, complicated funding sources that we have is these unions put them off the well, and I'm just starting to learn about. And have a mechanism that has the federal dollars, I don't think it's if they go away, I think it's when they go away. So what we've got to do is we've got to have something in place very soon, a funding source, and then a mechanism by which to utilize those funds in a way that's fair up and down the coast. So what we're talking about is a similar method with shallow draft dredging is getting on a schedule and working through that schedule to make sure that we're being fair to everyone. So that's kind of where the talks are right now. Nothing's going to happen this session. But hopefully in the interim we're going to be really reaching out to folks, having some meetings, and creating a real plan on how what we think works, and then we'll bring in some leadership in both House and Senate. And we work very closely. Once we get up to Rick's education level, then we can be with Rick, because unfortunately we're still down here a little bit. So, yes, ma'am.
Senator, the North Carolina
Department
of Twin meaning the 20 coastal counties, have been working on some of those same issues. And as you know, as our sole representative sort of for North Carolina in courthouse and you are in the chamber, we're the only county that really has a substantial pot of money saved. And some of us, I represent the chamber at Wrightsville Beach, some of us are concerned that in a coastal agreement, we're wondering what fair would be based on the fact that we have 40-some million to contribute, and the other counties have virtually nothing to contribute, and we want to make sure that our efforts for self-protection don't go away.
Right. I agree with you completely.
Thank you.
And when we talk about fairness and that mechanism, we're really talking about getting on a schedule.
Yeah.
And prioritizing needs up and down the coast, and then developing that schedule. And when it comes to return, it's return. If there's something that happens in the interim, then you know those emergency situations need to be addressed. Now, while I say I think that federal money is going to go away, I don't mean with respect to FEMA and some of the other funding sources when we have certain events. So I'm not talking about those kinds of dollars.
Right.
I'm really talking about just we need to, you know, whether it's your house or your car or anything else, we talk about maintenance and not just emergencies. So that's kind of what we're really getting at.
But this is, you know, these are state property. And the towns that are built up around those beaches, their burden, 2,000 residents, their burden of maintaining the state property and policing it and picking up the trash and protecting lives on it. For the millions and millions of people who come from around the state and around the country to enjoy it. So back to Steve's point, this is a state asset that we are protecting. The burden is falling inordinately to us. So when you talk about, yes, maintaining and protecting and not just for emergencies, this isn't our car, this isn't our house, this is everyone's. This is the beach that belongs to the people of the state of North Carolina. And that's where we're looking for some commitment from the state. Not just to say, the state will kick in and then the towns kick in millions, a few thousand residents, hey, kick in millions. And we'll do it because we love it. I mean, we'll do the best we can, but everyone enjoys the beach.
So apparently I wasn't clear. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. We're talking about a state program maintenance assistance for the beach communities of town. So I agree with you completely.
Not
that's
just
what we're talking
counties
about.
And the towns. Yes, I get it, but we'd be on the schedule, but not just us bearing the burden of the cost.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, and the shallow draft inlet dredging fund, that's kind of what we're doing. We're setting up a fund, and we're also funding. We had a funding mechanism that some of the recreational and fishermen are upset about it because it has to do with a user fee on boats. And trust me, I'm getting a lot of flack on that. But we have to find a way to raise funds for our communities. And they're not easy to do those things politically. But we've got to do them. So.
So who is chairing that study committee?
It's not a study committee. Are you talking about the maintenance?
I'm talking about the maintenance.
There's not a study committee yet. What we're doing is we're going to develop a plan with Jeff Warren, who's kind of helping us on the front end. And Jeff, there's another gentleman whose name I can't remember, who's apparently the expert.
I guess that's where it is.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Michael, 2 points. One, what do you and Rick need from us as the beach communities to help you? Because that's what we should be focused on. Not complaining to you about what you're not doing, but what can we do to help? That's number one. And if you don't know right now, figure it out and get back to us, right? Through the right contact. Number two, more importantly, I think the point is very important from our standpoint. We're the ants and we've got all these grasshoppers. We've been storing away for the bad times for 25 years or so. We have this great fund that people before all of us started that we've been consistently putting in. And as the state looks at that, we don't want to get punished for doing the right thing.
Sure.
Right? So you're going to get a lot of help. I think you're going to get a lot of people looking at that. We want you to let us know how we can help you because
those people could have done exactly the same thing 25 or 30 years ago, and they didn't. Because they were getting similar funding sources and they were using it for whatever they wanted to. We rightly put it away for and dedicated it for beach renourishment. And so when that fairness comes up, you're going to need our help because you're going to be the lone voice saying, wait a minute, all you other beaches, the funding stream should be the same for everyone. Whatever it is, the state's going to say, you know, we're going to pay this much to each project. And it should have nothing to do with how much those communities have put aside for those projects.
Sure. So right now, we've reached out to Chris, and the county has engaged a representative, which I think is one of the best things that has really occurred recently to help push this along. So we're going to be working on this in there. In the interim, we're going to be reaching out to Chris and reaching out to some other folks at the same time. And we're not going to roll out some kind of plan without talking to the county and y'all about some of those things and kind of where we're going. The shallow draft inlet dredging happened very quickly because of some urgent needs up in Morgan Inlet. So that was something that just kind of happened. We saw an opportunity to get something done and we really seized on it. Hopefully we'll continue down that path. It's going to take a little longer.
But what I'm saying is we want to help you, right? So every community has people who live in Raleigh and Charlotte that have homes in our community and Asheville and, you know, Greensboro, that we should be reaching out to for their guys, because otherwise you're going to get overwhelmed by all the other people that haven't done that. And so you guys need to think of what you need and then communicate that to us so we can help for both you and her. Thank you.
Mayor, if I may. And I thank you, Rich, and Michael, for willing to do that. One of the big problems is, you know, we're all standing in our, we've all circled the wagons in our individual communities up and down the East Coast. I refer to the NC 20 many times, not necessarily about the organization, but about the geographic scripts. There's like 8 or 9 coastal and 10 or 12, you know, interior. But the economies of those 20 plus counties are hinged significantly on what we do with these. Example, Topsail Beach in the last 4 or 5 years spent $20 million their own money to do their what do you call that? Beach storm place? Sand. Yeah, they bought sand. I'm joking. I love you both. And North Topsail just did a loan, a 10 or 12 year loan for $17 million and pumped sand up there for 3.5 miles. Couldn't do the whole beach because of the Coastal Barrier Resources Act. Everybody's got a different formula, and what Representative Lee and if we can find a way to support that on a regional, you ask us. So we've got to call our friends at other counties, and they know they're late work in Raleigh. But we've got to find, my wife calls it the Coastal Sand Coalition, don't use that name, but many times, you know, we all know that. And if y'all can't tell, I'm very passionate about this, because I know, I didn't even know we had a Portsmouth Island in North Carolina until a few years ago, you know. And Portsmouth Island basically has a vessel, and it Washington goes, it goes and comes, there's no reason nourishment, it just is what happens. And that's what we'd be if it weren't for what these efforts. So we as a county, and the other 20 counties, 21, whatever, every beach community, every town, we've got to find a way to come together. So if it takes, and who was it David brought from Pennsylvania?
Schuster.
You know, we were today, four of y'all were there the other day. And Mr. Schuster and I were talking, we all had a chance to talk. And the whole East Coast, it recognizes that. So there, I don't think the federal money is gone, but we do have to, every level, we have to take care of ourselves. And I think the state is our next step. But we've got to have a bigger picture than just the three beach communities, the city of Wilmington, and the county. And I know we all realize that, but we've got to start doing it. I think the leadership is already heading that way around. And we need to get our lobbyists all talking together too, because there's several lobbyists up and down the coast as well.
Thanks, Steve. Anybody else? Yes.
Shane Johnson with Wilmington Realtors. I met with David Rousers, chief of staff this summer.
specifically on this issue, and I'm kind of new to the community too. I've only been here a couple of years. But David probably had his, if you're the sand boy, he's sand Superman.
Yeah, I guess.
He's very strongly in this corner and wants us to try to help solve this issue. And we talked about trying to do some kind of a pinnacle event maybe next spring to do a couple of things. One is to build a coalition of all counties. Number two, determine and identify dedicated sources of funding, specifically with so that there's a shared and a fair way of doing it with the state. Those are the two biggest things that we really want to focus on. So we're starting to work on that. Does anybody know Nicole Elko from South Carolina? She's a consultant. She did a conference over in Brunswick County a month or so ago, I think, on beach tourism. She's got a very good understanding of how other states and communities have approached this thing and been successful. So we've actually contracted with her and we're working more on that. So I just talked with Layton, I've talked with Spencer Rogers. We're going to be reaching out to folks to help try to facilitate that over the course of the next 6 months of the year.
Thank you. Anybody else? Chris?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to, everybody's talking about the significance of regional cooperation, but I want you to know, and I know I mentioned this, I believe at the last breakfast meeting, but certainly when Tim and Jim and I and Layton came down to an inlet meeting, the county commissioners have secured a statewide goal. So you have 99 other counties that are supporting coastal infrastructure as part of one of the statewide goals. It's part of transportation, but the vice chair, Commissioner Watkins, and others at the state association meeting in January were able to drill into and attach coastal infrastructure as a statewide priority. And so over the course of the next 6 months to a year, as you're developing this strategy, we certainly can remind everyone and try and call to the table 99 other counties, because they've already supported it. It was a unanimous decision by those in attendance, and I think there were 85 of 100 counties there that agreed to make coastal infrastructure, and it was written in a broad way so that it could be beach nourishment, it could be continuing to do inlet maintenance and other responsibilities that may come along. So I think it's important for this group to know that your board led a statewide effort to get coastal infrastructure on a statewide policy initiative. So I wanted to make that point.
Ms. Kubrick, if I may too, I know it's not sand, but is there not in our current budget $500,000 for inlet dredging this year?
Yes, sir. I believe it may be $300,000.
I can't remember. Yeah.
But the objective was not to tap into the new allocation off the second 3% of the ROT in the unincorporated county. We want to reserve that for long-term maintenance. And Layton, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's $300,000 that we budgeted to do full maintenance out of county dollars.
Anybody else? Well, I would just like to say that it's very disheartening when you go to Raleigh and you go to Washington and the first thing they ask you is what the county's doing. So we need to get some action from the county. And with that, the room occupancy tax was on the list, but the governor said he's going to meet with that, so I think that's a good point. And sales tax.
Sales tax.
Okay.
Yes. I do not. I hope that does not pass.
I hope it doesn't either.
Yes, the governor is with us on that. Yes, yes.
So, Rick, on that, is the Senate?
Yeah, it's set up. Okay, let me go to Greg.
Watch out.
Yep, so I'm opposed to the sales tax plan. The reallocation that is occurring, there's a group of us that worked really hard to try and stop that process. There was a separate bill that has been floating around for a long time, and then that bill, standalone bill, ended up getting folded into the budget. So, and for those of you who are aware of it, it's where the sales tax allocation right now, a quarter of the 2 cents essentially is per capita right now, and it goes to school capital, you know, infrastructure needs. The balance of it is based on point of sale or nexus base. This was changed back in, I guess, 2006 or 7,
where it was a 50-50 split point of sale per capita to what it is today. And right now, the plan that Senator Brown has put forward is an 80-20 split, which is 80% per capita and 20% nexus-based, which has a dramatic impact on municipalities and counties like ours. So one of the struggles that we have is that the makeup of both the House and the Senate, you know, you look at the numbers of the who wins and who loses, and those of us in the metropolitan areas don't have the votes from that perspective. So that is the challenge that we have. And because it's rolled into the budget, it is an issue if the governor, whether the governor vetoes or not, I don't know, because it's going to be in the budget. The most important thing that y'all can do, the counties can do, is reach out to the rural counties and get them to call their rural senators to help in this particular fight. It's a knockdown dragon. It's a big deal. Medicaid is number one right now, Medicaid reform. I think this is the other major sticking point why we're going to be in Raleigh much longer than anybody in this room where I want to be there. So it is a really, really big deal. I can't emphasize the lump.
We're going to have a Halloween party at my condo.
Well, it's not a Christmas party.
Let me ask you a couple of questions. I understand that, first of all, the rural counties have found out they're not going to get a huge windfall. They thought they were going to get.
And that's what people are saying. Another part of this is the authority of counties to have an additional quarter cent tax increase, which will be point of sale, right? So if the way the spreadsheet works is there's different columns for each number. Even without that, the rural counties are going to have 100% increases overnight in revenue from sales tax. So, I do not disagree with the policy that our rural counties, Jones counties, Moda counties, are struggling dramatically. And someone says raise the property tax. You can't raise the property tax enough. You just can't in a lot of these counties. Their schools are falling apart, and their jails are falling apart. All the unfunded mandates that Chris knows are putting down on counties, they are struggling dramatically. We hate to use this phrase, but there are two North Carolinas going on. So I'm not saying that we don't have a responsibility to do something. This is not the way to do it right now. We need to figure out how best to accomplish it and find out what our policy goals are. Because right now it's just a reallocation of money. There's no real policy goal behind it.
And I also understand that some of the data coming out of the legislature is not really correct, on determining how much counties would lose, especially in New Hanover. They're basing it on this overall increase in population,
right,
while ours is expected to increase 50% over the next 40 years. They aren't looking at areas of the state where it's increasing the most, and therefore we have the most to lose.
Right, so what she's talking about is these spreadsheets and projections all based on revenue increases over the next 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. One of the problems are these are, there is a group of us that have been running spreadsheets for 6 months as soon as we found out about this thing. And those of us who are freshmen don't have always the access that some of the senior leadership does as far as getting things turned around quickly. But these spreadsheets are all projections. We really don't know how it's going to end up. I mean, it could be much worse. It could be not as bad. We don't know. All we're doing is based on projections with 3.5% growth over the next 5 years. And some people say, well, that's conservative and that's a good thing. And some people say, no, that's conservative, that's a bad thing. We're going to have 10% growth. So the devil is really in the details. One more quick thing. This is a complicated issue because of the way sales tax in North Carolina is handled. It's covered in four different articles. There are all kinds of strings attached to different places. Is it local? Is it state? Can the state take it? There are lots of issues involved with this.
Senator Brown to our north is the one that put forth this proposal, and I respectfully disagree with him. I say respectfully because I understand what he's doing, don't agree with it. Senator Brown has helped us and our community a lot. Shallow draft dredging would not be moving forward without his help. I want to make that clear.
As part of what got rolled into the budget, was the sales tax rebate to nonprofits, was that eliminated as some of the early proposals of the bill were showing? So like, for instance, the, in New Hanover County, I mean, there was going to be the worst, was New Hanover Medical Center, and I forget what the numbers were. Beth, do you remember how many, like, it was like millions of dollars,
like,
in, like a couple hundred thousand dollars, I forget, like, a large amount of money these nonprofits pay in sales tax and they get rebated under the current.
Right. So let's talk about the hospitals, because that's really the big issue. So the numbers that are on these spreadsheets have an assumption of base expansion. What base expansion means is sales tax being charged on services that have not been charged before. Veterinary services is one example. It also depends on phasing out the sales tax exemption for hospitals as nonprofit hospitals. So that's $177 million that goes into that sales tax pot that is not currently there today. So if you look at the spreadsheets and you run the numbers across and you see New Hanover County is losing 5%, 10%, the assumption built in is that there's $177 million going into that. If that does not get through, that base expansion of sales tax, the impact is dramatically worse. It's not 10% or whatever the number is that I'm calling on. So that was in the Senate budget. It's not in the House budget. So what's going on right now is the House and Senate are negotiating. Right now, the first agenda item really is Medicaid reform because it drives so much of the budget. And I know they've been working hard on that and the HHS chairs. So then we're going to, I think the next real big hurdle is going to be, it's obviously the balance of the budget, it's going to deal with the sales tax issue. Yeah. Because there's so many different pieces of it. Rick knows this really, really well. So I know he's working on this in his chamber because he has rural representatives that are looking at this also that he's having to talk to and explain. So when you hear about sales tax, base expansion, it's inextricably linked with this concept of reallocation. Without that, it's really horrible.
If I can ask one of you two, the counties in theory are going to be the recipients. This is not anything to the beach, but it does in the long run. It affects all of us, the county and the state. Are the counties that are going to be the recipients of these rural counties, is there any restrictions or guidelines what they do with the money? Or are they, you know, but that's an issue for me personally.
That's the issue. This should, and I mentioned that earlier. What is the policy behind, what's the policy? And the policy should be education and infrastructure. But that's not what this is. Now, I don't dispute the fact that local elected officials should be able to govern their own budgets. But if we are trying to accomplish something on a statewide level, we have to make sure that the mechanism that we're using accomplishes the policy we're trying to achieve. And that's one of the issues that some of us have had the hardest time with, because we don't disagree with the fundamental concept that there are parts of North Carolina that are suffering tremendously, children are suffering tremendously. We don't dispute that. We need to figure out how to fix it. But without a policy to match what we're trying to accomplish, we have problems. So we've asked some of the counties, what are you going to do with 60% more money? And they're like, they don't know. Those are some of the things that we have issues with.
Just one last question, sorry. So you told us to reach out to our rural counties to help you. What is our argument? Because it's pretty hard to reach out and say, hey, you know, you guys might get this big windfall. We'd like you not to do that. So, I mean, not to be sarcastic, but for you, Rick, what do we tell them if you reach out?
It's not just about the money.
Okay. It helps us with the argument, right?
Well, I mean, because I'm doing it with my rural counterpart. It's not just about the money. Let's figure out what's the problem, and then how do we address it? So, and that's what I've been talking to folks about, and to have a plan that is thought out and fair, right? Because as our urban centers grow, the power center shifts. I mean, it's just the way it works. Why did this happen back in 2007, where you were 50-50 and now you're 75-25? Why did that happen? You had the votes in the metro areas to make it happen. Because if you didn't, it wouldn't happen. So we need to figure out a solid policy for all of North Carolina, not just for rural areas, not just for the metro areas, because that's why we have this divide right now. It's not just this issue. There are lots of issues. And once we can accomplish that, then I think we're all moving forward on the same path. So, thank you.
So, you know, David, a response to that, because the way I see this, Curie Beach could lose as much as 53% of its sales tax income, and counties, millions and millions. If we don't, that's a big source of our revenue. If we don't have that to pay for our own infrastructure and our services that we provide to tourism, tourism, I believe, is the second largest industry in the state or close to it. And our tourism industry suffers because of it, then the sales tax income decreases, which is going to hurt the rural areas. You know, the beaches may not.
The beaches may not. If I was a rural county commissioner, I would not be interested in that argument at all. And so I'll talk to you
all. Well, they'll have
the message to receive that we can give to them that they can receive. That one would not work. If I was a rural county commissioner.
Well, they
don't
have a beach.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, just to give an illustration about the sales tax point, why it's so critical to everybody in this room. Everybody here pays county property taxes. Looking forward to the budget year that we're in right now, the sales tax distribution or redistribution assumes that 3.5% growth. Our sales tax is growing year over year at 15%. The amount of growth in the property tax, even though there's lots of construction going on, has averaged less than 1% over the last 5 years. So a redistribution year over year when this is in effect will be at a minimum $16 million. And so that's where the growth for the revenue in our community is. It's not a growth in the tax base, it's growth on sales tax. Nobody here can afford to forego that 15% growth year over year. So just think about that as you develop your strategy to convince rural communities that that this is not the deal that it appears to be. So,
so I agree 15% along those lines, when within a county, municipalities or jurisdictions raise their property tax, other people receive less property tax. So if we don't want to forego our 15% potential growth in sales tax, Carolina Beach needs to go out and raise our property tax to keep up with you and Wilmington. Otherwise, we're losing this year. Wrightsville's losing this year. Carolina Beach is losing this year. So the 15% growth, we don't share in that because you guys have to raise your tax, which is your, you know, the county needs to do that. It should not penalize us. And we are being penalized in our sales tax because of actions of other jurisdictions in the town. So as much as we're talking about a statewide distribution of sales tax, we need to focus on the new head of the county because Carolina Beach is in a position where we're going to lose sales tax. So we had that discussion, I understand, and I talked to the senator about it. I've talked to Rick before about it. It's a state legislative action, or we have to go per capita in New Hanover County. So,
if I may, on top of that, sometimes people always ask, what do I get for my county taxes? And unfortunately, you may not see them. But again, as I mentioned earlier, they're mandated with funding and without funding. Again, 97%, 95% of our budget serves behind the scenes. Yes, you do have your own fire departments and police departments, but we provide a court system, we provide various functions that are not visible every day, Steve. I know you think.
I know it's good. We have asked for them. We talked to our last speech community meeting about having a magistrate on this end of the island, on this end of the county at some point. I mean, we used to have them, and now we don't. So, I mean, you guys say you provide a court system. We pay our county tax, and we pay the other things. So we can have that. We're not here today to make that, but I understand.
We should have
this sales tax issue that you guys were talking about. Don't redistribute our sales tax and then tell us there's a 15% growth. We don't get to participate in that because... And we're not disagreeing with the county's need to raise the property tax. Right. What we're saying is don't penalize us. And likewise, if we're in a position to reduce our property tax, then we also get penalized. And some of our constituents would like to know why we can't reduce our property tax when, in fact, our budget will allow us to do that. And the answer we have to give them is we lose property tax and we lose sales tax. It's just, that's a very tough subject when you ask them. Don't worry about it.
Has anybody got anything else? Well, I think this is a perfect time to thank the two Nancys. And Nikki and Mandy with the town for putting this breakfast on. They did a great job. And you want to say anything about this being open for weddings?
It's available for rentals.
Thanks.
That's it.
Thank you all for coming.